Thanks for joining us at Crossroads Church. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
We're in the third and the final week of the sermon series, Fingerprints. Everyone say fingerprints. Hold them up. We leave our fingerprints everywhere we go. But why did God give us fingerprints? To leave a unique, lasting impression on everything we touch. How many know God leaves His fingerprints on everything He touches? The title of today's message is Rate Your Faith. Everyone, rate your faith. I didn't say rate your faith. I said rate your faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, rate your faith, neighbor. I want to start off a little different today with no intro. I know that's crazy. No beating around the burning bush. Come on, you know that was good. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. That's kind of strange. We'll get to that. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, and God, for each and every person that's here today, I pray that you would speak, God. I pray for every distraction and every hindrance that's come against this body this morning so far, and we rebuke that. And God, I pray somehow that you would speak through this vessel in a real and a mighty way to your people, a word in season, a word to encourage, inspire, to motivate, to transform. And God, we pray that as this word hits home, touches our hearts and our minds, as we hear from the Father, God, that we would put it into practice. That we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers. And God, I pray that as we put your word into practice, it will change and transform our lives as we know you want it to do. Have your way. Speak. In your name we pray. Everyone says, amen. God told Moses, I am the Lord. And depending on your translation, it might say Yahweh or Jehovah. And it would be easy just to read over this and think nothing of it. But God wasn't just saying, Moses, don't forget who I am. I am the Lord. God was also reminding Moses of his promises. Something you might not know about this name Yahweh or Jehovah was that it was so sacred that the Jews never even spoke it. Never even wrote it. So scholars don't really know how it should be pronounced. But this was their best assumption, Yahweh, Jehovah. And Yahweh and Jehovah was known as God's covenant-keeping name. Yahweh reflects the promise of God's constant presence with His people. God said, never will I leave you or forsake you, Moses. And never means never, church. No matter where you are or what you've done, God said, never will I leave you or forsake you. I'll always be there to lead you, to guide you, to minister to you, to be a good, good father to you. But Jehovah goes a little deeper. The name Jehovah has several implications. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who provides. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. He is the God that healeth thee. Psalms 103. Praise the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. And Jehovah Nisi means the Lord our banner, which really means the God who gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. So no matter what you're facing today, God will give you the victory if you'll trust and obey, one day at a time, step by step. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, "Praise the Lord," or "Thanks be to the Lord, Jehovah Nisi, who gives us the victory." Now let's go back and read this verse again with its original meaning, or with this newfound revelation. Verse 2, God said, "I am the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, the God who provides, the God who heals, and the God who gives us the victory." This small verse means so much more now, right? This verse should hit home now. I could say amen right here and go home, because I've basically preached the whole sermon in less than 5 minutes. But get ready, there's more. In verse 3, God said, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty." And the name God Almighty means God is all-powerful, but emphasizes that God's power will fulfill His purposes in this world. God said, "I appeared to them as God Almighty, but as Yahweh and as Jehovah, I did not make myself fully known to them." Think about that. God said, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I didn't make myself fully known to them as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi." "But to you, Moses, and to the rest of the Israelites, and to all of you that are here today, I want to make myself fully known as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah Rapha, as Jehovah Nisi, the God who provides, the God who heals, and the God who gives us the victory." That's something worth shouting about. I want to make myself fully known to you, church. Let's go to verse 6. "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Therefore say to the people, Moses." Therefore say to the people, Joseph, to the church. But also, therefore say to the world, church, I am the Lord. The Lord who? Not just God Almighty, but Yahweh. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nisi. He wants to make himself fully known to the world as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nisi. "And I will bring them out from under the yoke of bondage, and I will set them free, and I will redeem them." See, God sent me to say to all of you awesome people today, He is the Lord your God. Don't lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. He will bring you out. Is there something you need to be brought out of today? He will set you free. Are you bound? Are you addicted? Is there something you're chained to this morning? And He will redeem you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That was weak. But if we were honest this morning, some of us, if not many of us, aren't living as if we're redeemed. We're living as if we need to be redeemed. Point number one, write this down. Live as if. Live as if. I said live as if, Jeff. Live as if you are. Live as if you are redeemed. Live as if you are forgiven. Live as if you are saved, Christian. Live as if you are victorious, church. Even if you aren't, live as if. Live as if. As a preacher, there are weeks, there are Sundays that I have to live as if I do have a word to share. Because if I were honest, there are weeks where I don't feel like I have a word to share. There are weeks where I sit in my office with the door locked, sitting in front of my keyboard, twiddling my thumbs. God, what do you want to speak this week? God, I can't hear you. God, speak up. God, speak, because if you don't speak, I can't speak, God. And Paul could totally relate, because he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 or 17, pray for me that when I speak, words would be given to me, that I would be able to open up my mouth with boldness to proclaim the gospel message. And Moses could relate, because Moses said, I can't speak, God. I have nothing to say. But God's response was, Moses, I will give you the words to say. And it's in these moments that I'm reminded I do have a word to share, because the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim the gospel message to a lost and a dying world, to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and to set the oppressed free. So I preach as if I do have a word to share. I preach as if this is the last sermon I'll ever preach. I preach as if this is the last sermon you'll ever hear. I preach as if. And because I preach as if, God is able to speak and lives are transformed. I preach as if. But think about this. If I showed up week after week and preached as if I didn't have a word, and just rambled on with no passion, no purpose, no anointing, I would lose every single one of you. And let me say this. If I preach like some of you listen, let that sink in. With my arms folded, non-responsive, like this, God is good, brother. I would lose every single one of you, but I preach as if. So you need to start responding as if this is the greatest sermon you've ever heard. I preach as if. We have to live as if. We can't live as if we're defeated. We have to live as if we're victorious. If you approach your addiction as if you're already defeated, you'll be defeated. But if you approach that addiction as an overcomer, you'll overcome it. We have to live as if. If your marriage is on the verge of a divorce, you cannot live as if you're already divorced. You have to live as if you're still married. You have to live as if you're still on the honeymoon. You have to live as if. Guys, that means you have to work hard. If you worked hard to win her, keep working hard to keep her. And ladies, if you worked it to win him, keep working it, girl. We have to live as if. Think as if, act as if, live as if. And I'll say it again if you'll post it on Facebook. Think as if, act as if, live as if. Let's go to verse 7. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This verse describes the core purpose and meaning of Israel's exodus. And by the way, exodus means mass departure. It was a mass departure from Egypt to the promised land. It was a mass departure from slavery to freedom. Our prayer as a church is that we would see a mass exodus in Council Bluffs, in Carter Lake, and in Omaha. But not a mass departure from this place. A mass departure from their spiritual state. From darkness to light. From lost to found. From hopeless to hopeful. From sin to righteousness, from sinner to saint. Come on, church. From defeated to victorious. And God said, I will take you as my own. And that's the message that God wants you and I to take to the world. He will take you as his own. He will be your God. He will bring you out from the yoke of bondage, and he will set you free. Everyone say, he set me free. Someone should have broke out in song just now. He set me free. How's it go? He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Glory bound, my Savior, I shall see. He set me free. Wow. There really is some power in the old hymns, right? He set us free. We have to live as if we're free. Not as if we're bound. Not as if we're addicted. We have to live as if we're free. This is a part of God's adoption process. He adopted us as sons and daughters. We're sons and daughters of the great King. I don't think that we really fathom that on a daily basis. His blood runs through our veins. The Almighty God, the Great I Am, our Savior, the one who paid the ultimate price for the world. That blood that dropped runs through our veins. Wow. There's power in the blood. I'm about to start singing. Wonder working. Come on. Come on, one more time. There's power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Woo! Praise God. That was good, and that wasn't planned. We'll have to do that for the 11 o'clock service. We have no power in ourselves to rescue ourselves. But what we can't do, God can. And what we were powerless to do, God has all power to do. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Their release, their redemption, their rescue, their liberation is a sign of how Jesus provides redemption for you and I through His death on the cross. When they accepted God's offer through Moses, God set them free. They were no longer bound. They were no longer slaves. They were no longer in Egypt. They were free. And the Bible says that when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Just as we accept Jesus' offer of salvation, we are set free from the power of death and sin. Let's go to verse 9. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Point number 2, when faith is absent, God's grace abounds. And where faith can't be found, God's grace surrounds. See, one of my biggest challenges as a pastor every single week is to get you to believe what you've already determined in your heart you won't believe. What are you telling yourself you can't do this morning? What are you telling God He can't fix? What scripture in this Bible are you not believing today? See, God didn't bring them out because they had great faith. God brought them out because of His great grace. And what I'm trying to say is God's grace is greater than our faith. And although we have great faith that our city will be reached, God's grace on our city is greater than our faith for our city. It isn't necessarily based on my faith, your faith, or their faith as much as it is God's grace. And God is full of grace. And He wants to reach this city more than I do and more than you do. Salvation doesn't start with our faith. It starts with His grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, By grace through faith, we are saved. Let me say that again. By grace through faith, we are saved. Salvation begins with His grace and is activated through our faith. Grace leads to faith. At first, these Israelites had no faith whatsoever. They were stuck. God's not going to set us free. You're wasting your time, Moses. Go away. Leave us alone. We'll just work. And we'll stay slaves the rest of our life. At first, they had no faith. But as God revealed His love, His power, His plans, His purpose for their life, their faith began to grow. And as God revealed His love and His power through the 10 plagues, their faith grew even more. Plague by plague, step by step, their faith was growing. They were believing. Maybe God does really want to set us free. Maybe God does have a plan for our lives. Maybe God does want to use us. Maybe He doesn't want us stuck here in Egypt the rest of our lives. Their faith began to grow. A seed was sprouted. How many plagues were there? 10. And each plague was like a rung on the ladder of their faith. When God revealed, they took another step. When they took another step, God revealed. God rescued them by grace through faith. The same way Jesus rescues and saves us, by grace through our faith. By grace through faith. See, their faith doesn't have to come first. Whoever you have in your mind that you want to invite to the Christmas service, that you want to invite to church, that you want to see saved, it doesn't have to begin with their faith. It begins with God's grace. You invite and let God do the rest. And as God reveals, their faith will grow. And as their faith grows, God reveals more. His love, His power, His plans, and His purpose. See, God built their faith up just enough where they were ready to trust and obey. It's like this sermon is full of old hymns. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I wonder what rung on the ladder of your faith you're on this morning. Think about it. If you could rate your faith on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your faith this morning? Come on, everyone, rate your faith. It's like if I could rate this sermon myself, I'd give it a 12 or a 15. All right? What is the rate of your faith? Let's fast forward past the 10 plagues. Pharaoh lets the people go. God has already rescued them. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter route. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. I want this to hit home for many of you this morning. God had to take them the longer route. Why? Because their faith was weak. They still had weak faith. God said if they face another battle, another war, another problem, another setback, they might change their minds and go back. Go back to what, church? To slavery? Go back to bondage? How many of you in your right minds would go back to slavery? Let me see your hands. Come on. How many of you would go back to what you were just set free from? But yet, let this hit home. How many of us go back to the addiction we were set free from? Come on, think about it. How many prisoners have you seen set free, but yet go right back to prison? It's just a cycle. And how many of us have been freed from sin, but yet run right back to that sin? The Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool to their folly. We can't go back. We can't go back to slavery, to bondage, to that addiction, to that pain, to that brokenness, that hurt. We can't go back. You've been set free, so live as if you're free. You've been redeemed. God has forgiven all of your debt. God has removed your guilt, so live as if. See, some of us need to start living as if we are saved, as if we are believers, as if we are followers, as if we are saints, not sinners. We were sinners saved by grace, but now we're saints, right? Living by the grace of God. No, don't label yourself as a sinner anymore. You're a saint. But if you continue to label yourself a sinner, it'll be easier just to keep going back to that sin, to that addiction, to that brokenness, to that jacked up area of your life that you keep going back to, that the Bible calls vomit. Why would we go back? Let's determine in our hearts and in our minds that we'll never go back we can't go by. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And I'm going to wrap this up. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I live as if I am, right? But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. Let that hit home for the Israelites. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Point number three, the way forward is toward. And the way to is through. God couldn't take the Israelites the shorter route. He had to take them the longer route. He couldn't take them to the battle or through the battle. He had to take them around the battle. The longer route is walking in circles. The longer route is ignoring the problem. The longer route is walking around the problem instead of facing the problem. Moses, you're just walking in circles, bro. You're just walking around the problem. But one day you're going to have to face this problem. What are you walking around today? What are you trying to ignore? What are you pretending that's not really there? What is it that you have to face today? See, in order to win the war, we have to face the war. In order to win the battle, we have to fight the battle. Is God having to take you the longer route to get you where He wants you to be? To His will, His purpose, your calling? See, what should have taken the Israelites 2 months to get to the promised land took them 40 years. Is it taking you 10 years to get where God wants you to be when it should only take you 2 months? God said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, tell them to move on. Tell them to move forward, Moses. Tell them to move in faith. And I think what God was trying to say is, if you'll move in faith, I'll move in power. See, God always wants to move. But almost every single time, God is waiting on us to move in faith first. Are you waiting on God to move somewhere in your life? Do you need God to move somewhere in your life? He might be waiting on you to move in faith first. When the Israelites were ready to move in faith, God moved in His power. See, there they were standing before the Red Sea, seemingly trapped. We should have stayed. God, you brought us out here to drown us. In this moment, they were scared. They didn't have a whole lot of faith. They didn't understand. What's the purpose, God? We were free. Even though we were slaves, we were free back there. But now we're about to be dead. Why did you bring us out here, God? See, this was the greatest display of God's power yet. As they stood before the Red Sea, God said, Moses, raise your staff. And Moses obediently raised that staff, and God parted the Red Sea just like that. And God made a way where there seems to be no way. Because God is the way maker. God opened up the way. He parted the sea. And God put His thumbprint right down on the sea. Left His fingerprints so that they could go. And when they were ready to move in faith, God moved in power. And when you and I are ready to move in faith, God is ready to move in power. But see, when God moves, we have to be willing to move on. We have to be willing to move forward. We have to be willing to move in faith. See, God wants to move. God wants to move in this place like never before. God wants to move in our hearts and our lives. God wants to move today, but God might just be waiting on you to move in faith first. If I could get everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's some of you here today that would say, Pastor, I've been waiting on God to move, to fix this, to show me the next step, to make a way, to open a door, to heal my marriage, to heal my body. But the simple message this morning that God wants to speak to you is it's time to move on. It's time to move in faith. And when you move in faith, God will move in power.